Welcome to the Sunflower Conversations, where we explore the hidden disability sunflower and its role in supporting people with hidden disabilities.
So, hey guys, my name's Paul. Today we're going to be talking to Brooke Simon. Brooke is all the way from Australia, in Melbourne. How you doing, Brooke?
I'm good, thank you.
Lovely to meet you. So Brooke has ABI, which is acquired brain injury, and it refers to any type of brain damage that occurs after birth. It can include damage sustained by infection, disease, lack of oxygen, or a blow to your head. Brooke, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Brooke. I'm almost 40. I was one of the unlucky ones that was not born with it. I did get my ABI and other disabilities and injuries from some domestic violence that I did encounter quite a few years ago, but I'm doing well now.
Brooke, firstly, I just want to say how terribly, how sorry I am to hear that. That's awful, and I don't think words really can do much justice to kind of relaying the true sort of feelings about that.
It's taken 4.5 years, but I'm now pretty much to the best that I'll ever be able to be, which is brilliant.
Well, Brooke, listen, can you just obviously just touch on your health conditions now, please, and you know, where you're at?
Okay, so I do have the ABI, as you said, and that was from the blows to the head, multiple blows to the head, and I am legally blind in the right eye from a disconnected retina, and partially blind in the left eye from a tear in that retina, and I have middle ear deafness on the right ear. So I do need to wear hearing aids to assist me with my phone and things like that. I have had multiple eye operations. I think there was about 4 or 5 I've had so far. I was in hospital for about 3 months. I couldn't walk unaided. I had a walking frame, walking stick. So I was unable to walk unaided for probably a good 2.5 years.
Is this something that happened, obviously, after one incident? And then it sounds to me like you were probably hospitalised.
Basically, my situation was, it wasn't just a one-off occasion that it happened. It was multiple daily, and a couple of times a day sometimes. 10 months of that, roughly, about 10 months of that, and I ended up getting to the hospital. He discharged me, and I couldn't, out of that general fear of anyone in that situation, you don't speak. You don't open your mouth and speak. I was smart when he discharged me because he was yelling at me again. And I used a quick thought and I said, oh, I need to take my medication. I didn't, but he didn't know that. And then I pretended that I didn't have the correct medication and I need to go back to the hospital. And he said, oh, I'm not taking you, call an ambulance. So I found that my benefit. Once I did, the lovely lady, I'm assuming she kind of put 2 and 2 together. She saw the signs and wouldn't let him come. We got halfway to the hospital and I opened up and I blurted out everything. I told her what happened. She was beautiful. She wrapped her arms around me. She spoke to her driver. When we got to the hospital, she got security sitting with me, the head of the hospital, and also one of the other nurses who is the head matron of the mental health ward. So I was literally ward bound for 2 of those 3 months for my own safety. So yeah,
Can I ask, did you have parents or friends around you? Did you have a network of support?
He would not let me speak to anybody, no family, no friends. My children were only little bubbas at the time. Or my youngest was a bubba. My eldest was 6, maybe turning 7. He cut me off from the internet, he even made me change my phone number. He tracked my phone. He set up cameras in the house. He even stopped me from going to university, stopped me from running my business, which I was doing. It was a case of I had to get my children safe first with their father, because their father is not one that did it. But I had to get them safe first.
You are listening to the Sunflower Conversations with Paul. To learn more about the Sunflower, please visit our website. Details are in the show notes. I'm really genuinely pleased and glad for you that things have turned a bit of a corner and are getting better and that your life has changed for the better. Because it sounds like, frankly, it sounds horrific. And I'm just really pleased that you found some happiness.
Thank you.
Are your parents close by?
No, they live in East Gippsland, so they live five and a half hours away from Melbourne. My mum had that stomach feeling that often parents get, that there was something not right, and she found out that what had happened, so she travelled to Melbourne every week to the hospital to come visit me for the 3 months that I was in the hospital, and now we're as close as ever, so... Good things have come out of all of this. I look at the positives.
With trauma in life, I think if what doesn't, this is a bit of a funny thing to say, but if it doesn't kill you, I think it makes you stronger.
It makes you stronger. Yes, it does. And my nan always said that, and I am a big believer in it as well. And I'm also, I also say, like, I'm happily engaged now and beautiful stepdaughter. I see my children often. I'm back in contact with my parents. Yeah. So the way I say it is, while something bad happened, I now have the silver lining.
Yes. It kind of makes you appreciate what you've got and life, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah, definitely. You appreciate and you look at things in a different light.
Yes.
Definitely.
To begin with then, how did that really impact you on a day-to-day basis?
The biggest thing, which I probably struggle with the most, being I ran a business and was a university student before I got injured, my memory loss. My ABI causes such severe memory loss. I have literally my office around here, I have like notice boards everywhere and notes on my phone, and thank goodness for smartphones now, because everything's a note and a reminder, and because the memory loss is so bad for me.
So essentially, I just go back to these kind of coping mechanisms. I suppose with time, you've worked out ways in which to help yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. The biggest thing is it's notes.
Can I ask you how long it took to get diagnosed? Was it something that was immediate, or did it take a time?
So we took CTs, MRIs and a lumbar puncture and brain scans and every other possible scan you can think of, and x-rays, because I did have 2 broken ribs and broken nose as well. But they were able to then see, yes, there was more. There was swelling, there was bruising, there was more. So that's when the CTs and the MRIs came into play. So with all of those, they were able to, probably took them 6 months, roughly, before they got a proper diagnosis or enough of a diagnosis to send it to the neurologist. At a different hospital, and then it took them a couple of months as well. So within the 12 months, they had full diagnosis on all my issues and booked me straight in for surgeries and everything else. So
you are listening to the Sunflower Conversations with Paul.
To share your story, details are in the show notes.
Day to day, you know, how are things now?
Things are pretty good. Like, I've over the last, probably in the last 18 months, I've really started being able to cook and do things like that a lot better than what I could. I do still have to be careful, but I have been able to adjust.
Brooke, can I just ask you a little bit about your mental health? Just touch on it. You know, anxiety from this experience,
mm-hmm.
And even prior to it coming to a head, I would imagine that you would have experienced, you know, real anxiety and concern. Can you just talk a little bit about that, please?
Most times I notice an issue with anxiety is when I'm on public transport, when I'm on a train traveling into the city, or when I'm walking around the city, because I know the person that hurt me is still walking through. So, again, I have learnt to live with my anxiety. Some days are worse than others. Like, if I meet somebody by the same name, yep, I do have a bit of a stomach where I go, oh, you know, yeah. But I have got better. It has. Oh, this happened back in 2017.
Just, I noticed that you're wearing a sunflower.
I've got a few of them on, actually. I have my bracelet. I do have my pin. And I do also wear the lanyard.
Is it recognised? Does it help you?
I do always wear the lanyard because it's got my train ticket on it as well. So I always have it on. My kids are aware of what it means because they often ask, what's the sunflower mean, Mummy? So I tell them. And I wear the bracelet also when I'm at the gym. As it does get more known here in Melbourne and here in Victoria, it will definitely. And now that I'm pretty sure it was Metro or Yarra Trains, one of the two, are involved, and I think once they're all trained up, it's going to be definitely known about a lot more.
Do you feel personally you need a visual indicator to help?
Yeah, yes. Again, I don't know about where you are, but here on our trains here, we've got specific seats that are set out just for elderly, disabled or pregnant. I feel it's definitely at times, as the saying, as it states, you know, hidden disabilities, because someone might look like they're perfectly fine, but it's not always the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not always the case.
What reaction would you like from someone who sees the sunflower?
Just a simple, you know, hello, do you need a hand? Or are you okay? Just something as simple as that. You don't need to know anything else. Just, are you okay? Or do you need help?
Yeah, a bit of
patience. That's all that needs to be said. Yep. Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You know, I think that what you've been through is incredible. And I'm just interested to know, if you were to give a little bit of advice summarized, what would that be?
Music. Because I have the hearing aids, I can run music and run my phone through my hearing aids, thank goodness. I just play music. When I'm sitting on the train, I play music, because you can hear people yelling and arguing and being loud and whatever. I just play music. I filter negative things out. When I'm at home, I started this one in hospital. The nurses got me under this one. Mindfulness colouring. Yep, the old-fashioned colouring pencils and colouring book. Yeah.
That's lovely.
Which is also good because of, again, some of my ABI and everything. I struggle with my hand-eye coordination. So my writing is not so neat anymore and things like that. So the colouring can help with that as well.
What about to someone who is experiencing what you experienced earlier on? you know, what would you say to someone?
That is a really hard one because, I mean, I was always, back when I was young, before I was encountered anything like this, I was always a thinking, oh, just leave them if you're in that position. It's not always easy. So it turned out the teacher's parents at my daughter's school noticed a change in me. Noticed I didn't take pride in the way I dressed. I didn't put makeup on anymore. I didn't do my hair nice anymore. I didn't speak anymore to anyone. I was just in, out, kept my head down. That was a trigger for them. They knew that something wasn't right. And they actually went to the police. Being a person in that situation, it's a difficult one to get out of. It really is. Because no one knows what situation they're in. No one knows what barriers or anything like that. In my mind, I had to get my children safe first. I say to other people, look out for signs for people that you know.
Brooke, listen, it's been a real pleasure to speak with you today, and feel very humbled and privileged to have met you, and for you to have been open about your experiences. It's been really insightful. Thank you ever so much for talking to us.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
If you'd like to share your sunflower story or conversation, please email conversations@hiddendisabilitiesstore.com. Find out more about us or listen to this recording again by checking out our insights page at hiddendisabilitiesstore.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Please help, have patience, and show kindness to others, and join us again soon. Making the invisible visible with the Hidden Disability Sunflower.